during the Iraq War and the war in Afghanistan alone, there have been 795 amputations.
That's the voice of high school senior Jeremy Blum, who's developed a technology for prosthetic hands. He's one of 40 seniors who've been chosen as a finalist for the Intel Science Talent Search, also known as STS. I'm Jason Lopez. This is PodTech.net. This week, those 40 seniors will be in Washington, D.C. for the Intel Science Talent Institute, and they'll be trying to win part of the $530,000 total in scholarships awarded to the top 10 finishers in the competition. The Science Talent Search started with 1,602 entries, but just to have gotten this far as one of the final 40 is a big deal in itself. There are all sorts of reasons these high school students develop their projects in areas like math, physics, chemistry, and other disciplines. In Jeremy's case, his project has obvious implications.
Knowing that there was this need for prosthesis in a broad range of people really put meaning into the research I was doing, and it made me feel like the work I was doing had a real purpose behind it and that it could really help people.
Tell me, how much work in this area did you rely on out there, or was it a greenfield?
Well, the purpose of my project was to take the existing method that's used to control a prosthetic hand, and I kind of took that and developed a new method based on it. So the new method I developed had never been done before. It hadn't been researched before at all. My research was very much a proof of concept. So there was a whole lot of research on myoelectric control, or the control method that I was working off of, and that method has been in existence since the 60s, actually. It's the most commonly used to control prosthesis. And the method that I developed is called force sensor control, and it works similarly. The way myoelectrode control works is myoelectrodes implanted on the remainder of the forearm on an amputee pick up the electrical signals that are generated by muscles when they bulge. And those electrical signals can be read by a microcontroller and used to open and close a prosthesis, rotate the wrist, etc. What I did is, instead of measuring the electricity created by muscles when they bulge, is I measured muscle bulge directly using force sensors that were mounted inside a cast on the outside of the arm. So it didn't require any implantation or surgery, and also a lot less expensive than myoelectrodes. And the purpose of my project was to test this new idea that I'd come up with along with my mentor and see how accurate they were in comparison to my electrodes. And basically what I found is that they were, in fact, very accurate.
So it's basically measuring the displacement, in a sense, that the muscles create when they move.
Exactly. So instead of going into the complexity of indirectly measuring muscle electricity, which often results in background electrical noise from other muscles bulging, by measuring the physical movement of the muscle, I was able to do it externally and a lot less expensively while still getting good resolutions between different muscles.
Jeremy Blum's project, because of its originality, is an example of how these high school students are working on very real science. Dr. Andy Yeager, a professor of medicine and pediatrics at the University of Arizona College of Medicine, where he researches clinical and experimental blood and marrow transplantation, says he's been involved as a judge in the Science Talent Search since 1979 and has been chair of the judging committee since 1999.
We see just so many wonderful, wonderful projects. We have inventors, for example, mathematicians. Yes, we have some absolutely credible cellular and molecular biologists, chemists, ecologists, behavioral scientists. So it is humbling and very inspiring to see what, again, now at high school senior level competition, what those high school seniors are doing and have done.
I noticed when I looked through a lot of the projects in the area of, let's just call it biomed, there were a number of projects there that sort of outnumbered all the rest. It was interesting to me to try to understand why there would be so many projects in this area.
Ah, yes. Well, I think it's fair to say that each year we get large numbers of all of the categories, large numbers in the fields of behavioral and social sciences, and, you know, biomedical sciences. Now, there is not a quota system to say, well, we need to have X number from this, X number from this, X number from this discipline or discipline focus. Good science is good science, and you will find that some years there may be larger numbers of physical sciences, chemistry, biochemistry. Other years, and I think this may be an example, we see a lot in the, I'm going to call the biomedical sciences. So it changes each year, and I think part of this is at every level there is, at every level there's sophistication and creativity. Now we have in biomedical sciences many projects, but not all are at the truly the molecular genetic level. That was something that obviously wasn't there or could not have been there 30 years ago.
I think that there's a big focus on biology because it's very relevant to the public and humans in general.
A project by Lauren Lassan could add to our knowledge of how to treat dyslexia.
There's a lot of disorders right now that there aren't treatments for, and the more we understand about the genetics and the basis of these diseases, the closer we come to treating them. And I think that because it's so relevant to our everyday lives and it's so important to so many people, that's where the focus on it comes from. I was studying developmental dyslexia, and I was using rats as a model. I was looking at two genes that are known to be involved in the inheritance of the disorder. I suppressed those genes from functioning in living rat embryos by injecting RNA in that prevents the genes from being expressed, and then the rats were able to, they were born and they survived for 30 days and then they were sacrificed, and then I compared the brains were sliced and put on slides, and then I compared them in the experimental group in which the genes were knocked down versus the control group, the genes were functioning, and I found malformations in the brains that had actually been seen in dyslexics, and I also saw that the distribution of neurons across the cortex in the experimental group was abnormal when compared to the control. So it overall, the project basically confirmed a link between the physical appearance of a dyslexic brain and the genes.
Now, had this been observed by scientists before, or was this the first time that anyone had seen this?
There have been similar studies on other genes that are known to be involved in dyslexia, so there were similar results in those experiments, but this is the first time that one was done with these two genes, and it was also the first time that the rats were looked at after they were born.
Lauren wants to be a neurosurgeon and continue research in neuroscience. Jeremy Blum says he plans to continue working on his prosthesis technology with his mentor in the project. And like many of his 39 colleagues, he's gotten noticed too.
I actually received a letter from the Veterans Administration in D.C. a few days ago expressing interest, and they're going to try to see my exhibit in Washington when I'm there.
Jeremy Blum is a senior at Byram Hills High School in Armagh, New York. He plans to study engineering at Cornell University. Lauren Lassan is a senior at Half Hollow Hills High School West in Dix Hills, New York. Her next stop is Yale University. The STS competition concludes with the Intel Science Talent Institute 2008 in Washington, D.C. for 6 days, starting March 6th. You can find out more at Society for Science. That's all one word, societyforscience.org/STS. I'm Jason Lopez for podtech.net.